See, I want to tell you something, folks. It's called spiritual warfare. It really is. You know, the devil didn't like us giving him a black eye the other night, so he thought he'd pick on Roger and try to give him a black eye, but he didn't get it. But I'm thankful that the Lord protected you, brother. You know, it could have been so much worse. So much worse. That's right. Exactly. That's just that much time. And yeah. Now, I want to praise God. The broadcast was on AM 690 this morning. Anybody hear it? Come on now. I want you to get up at 7:30 and listen to that. Okay? And then the telecast came on, which was really a blessing. It's been blacked out for a couple of weeks. So we kind of raised a little stink down there and let them know. Because it's real interesting how the Pentecostal guy gets on okay, and then the dancers come on, and everybody else comes on just fine, but we seem to get blocked out, you know? So we let them know.
We always get the bad decks.
Yeah, what's that?
We've got like four decks.
Oh. Was that their excuse? Oh, baloney. Yeah, they're full of baloney bones. Baloney bones, right? Okay, Romans chapter 8, let's go. And we got some refreshment back there. We're going to have a good time right after the Sunday school for a few minutes and just have a time of fellowship. And let's pray that other folks get here safely. I think, beloved, I really do. I believe in my heart that Romans chapter 8 is maybe it's the key chapter in the New Testament. You want to black that out there? Thank you, Bob. It's the key chapter in the New Testament for Christian living. Okay? Now, we're going to go on to another study before long. So I want you to just kind of bathe yourself in this. And is that clear? At least sort of clear? All right. I just want to encourage you that God gives us everything we need for our Christian life. He doesn't say just live the Christian life and leave us alone. Everybody, Ralph, you didn't get one of these?
Yes, I did.
You got one? Okay. That particular outline? Okay. And then the starting point for accountability, the tongue. Do you have that?
Yes.
Everybody have that? Okay. Very important. In this day and age in which we live. I saw Jack Van Impe on the other night. You know what? I praise God for him. You know, how many have heard Jack Van Impe? Seen him on TV there? You know, I known him. I tried to get him for a citywide crusade in Milwaukee many years ago, and he's just too busy or whatever. And he'd kind of given up on citywide crusades. He's more into the television now. But, you know, he still uses the King James Bible, you know, and still challenges people to get saved. And I love his passion. I really do. And I don't know, some say he had some weird ideas a few years ago, but I don't know. I heard him the other night, and I thought him and Rexella did a great job. But I'm going to say Barbara Weller did a great job the other night. If you saw it, if you didn't get it, do we have any DVDs here? So if you didn't see the program, make sure you pick it up next Sunday morning. Okay, that'd be your last shot, right? Okay, before our new telecast. So, folks, we need to face this thing of religious liberty and how we're being attacked as Christians. It's time for us to you know, I know that the sodomites want to come out of the closet and the Christian wants to go in the closet. We need to come out of the closet and stand up for our heritage and for what America was founded on, the precious Word of God. You say, well, that's not true. We're a secular society. You can't go to Washington, D.C. and see the Word of God all over that city. Even in the Supreme Court building, Moses holding up the Ten Commandments, you can't go into the rotunda of the Capitol building without seeing the baptism of Pocahontas, without all of the Christian heritage that we have in this land. And we need to just reclaim that and restore the foundations, or we're going to lose it. Now, how do we do that? How do we become victorious Christians? How can we live a Christian life? We need to understand our position, okay? How many have memorized Romans chapter 8 and verse 1? Have you done that? Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is All right? Can you do it with me? All right, here we go. I want you to memorize that. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How many are in Christ Jesus this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I tell you what, it's exciting to be in Christ. I used to be in the devil. I used to be in sin. I used to be in sorrow and sadness and under the power and dominion and domination of sin and the world. The world and the flesh and the devil owned me and controlled me. I'm thankful that I'm in Christ Jesus now. I'm so thankful. And we have a pardon, a perfect pardon. What is that position? That position, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can somebody quote that to me? 2 Corinthians 5:17 may be the most important verse in the New Testament for we as Christians in our Christian life. What is it? Okay, Carol's going to say it. Therefore, if any man and any woman, anytime, anywhere, amen? Any man be in Christ, he is what, Brother Ralph? A new creature, amen? Praise the Lord. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be creature reachers, amen? Creature reachers, amen? We're supposed to go out and reach those lost creatures, and God makes them into new creatures.
Amen.
I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. And what did Brother Bowler used to say? I'm so glad we made the devil mad. Right? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. We got a new position. We knew how can we live the Christian life? We have a new power, folks. A new power. And that's so exciting that we have that power to live. A new presence. I'm going to move through this quickly because I'm just kind of reiterating this. Ralph hasn't been here. I want him to see this new presence, and maybe somebody can help you fill in your outline there, okay? And, of course, we have that new promise. I love that new promise, folks. And what is that? What's the promise, Bob? I always ask you. Verse 26 and 27. Somebody read that. Verse 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
All right. That's a new prayer. Amen?
Amen.
New prayer. We don't pray the same way, do we? Okay. The new promise is in verse 18 to 23. And what is that? I call it 3 3/4. New prayer. That's the new prayer. Then that results from the new promise. And what's the promise? Boy, Brother Ralph, this is so good for you. What is it? That, what? You know what? We really think we suffer here in America. Mm-hmm. We have no idea how people in the world are suffering. Anybody who's traveled around the world in these third world countries, I'm going to tell you something. Probably the first real picture of poverty I've seen. I didn't even leave America. I left America by less than a mile. Anybody been to Mexicali? South of the border in California? They have a little cardboard city there. People live in cardboard boxes. My children saw that. I said, well, I'm going to take you to Mexico. Mexico. I said, you want to stay? No, we want to go home, Dad. They saw people and children. I bought some pencils from a little girl. And hopefully she didn't take them home so her dad can buy booze, you know, or drugs. But I'm telling you, folks, Chiclets. I bought Chiclets. That's what it was. Wasn't it? Yeah. They like to sell those little Chiclets. Okay? And I gave her $2 for a little. And she just, you know, she couldn't speak too much English, but... You know, I said, I'm probably a sucker. You know, I mean, her parents probably took the money or some wicked dad or whoever. But those people are suffering, okay? They're looking, I saw them scraping for bugs to eat, you know? I mean, we don't have to go far from where we're sitting to see poverty, do we? I mean, people literally living, trying to make their living, standing out on the medians, right? I try... to encourage those people. I used to take, I made up little blessing bags for some of these people and put a tract in there, put a letter in there, put a bottle of water, right, and a tract, and I put a letter in there telling them Jesus loves them, you know. I wasn't going to give them money, but I gave them a blessing bag, you know. And it was just a joy to be able to do that. We need to reach these people for Jesus Christ. So, but what I want to tell you is whatever suffering you're going through is very small and minuscule, tiny, compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Very important principle for us. So it keeps us from complaining here. I lost two very precious people this week. Two people that were like precious mentors. I lost a precious widow, Mrs. Hollywood, 91 years old. Years young, love the Lord Jesus Christ. She supported our radio ministry, folks. I need to pray that she sent us $40 a month for the radio ministry. You pray that the Lord will restore that, because that's going to hurt us, okay? They wanted me to fly out there and have the funeral in Philadelphia area, north of Philadelphia, but it cost $600 for the airfare, and I just said, I just can't do it. So we sent along a greeting, and we'll send some flowers. And then last night, I was talking to Dr. Charles Sanders. Dr. Sanders is going to be with us in January. Amen? And we're looking forward to him being here. We are going to get the word out. We're going to advertise and get the word out that God's going to be meeting here. And just real excited about that. So just pray that we might have just a wonderful time of special meeting with Dr. Charles Sanders. Okay, he's going to give us a travelogue of the Bible lands, and he's right now this week up at Milwaukee Baptist Church, our old home church up there where we were for almost 30 years, and he's having a great meeting up there, I'm sure, already. So he asked us to pray for him, but he told me that Dr. Grant Rice passed away as well. Dr. Grant Rice, now that probably isn't a household name to you, but he started over 200 churches across America. Help, and I'm sure it probably is closer to 500 if the Lord's keeping the count. But pray for his dear wife and family. Went home to be with the Lord. Lived just north of Green Bay there. And what was that called, that area up there? Door County. Lived up in Door County. Beautiful area of Earth's Harvest Field. So pray for them. What I'm saying is that folks, we need to pray that God will replace somehow. These people can't be replaced, but good morning, Fred. But pray that the Lord would. It seems like this country is just getting drained. Earth is poor and heaven is richer for having them, but boy, I'm sure going to miss these people. And these were my mentors and my wife's mentors. And so pray for the Hollywood family, if you would. But there's a new purpose, folks, a new prayer. Yes, the new prayer is that the Holy Spirit, we know not how to pray for as we ought, right? So that is the new promise. What's the promise? Okay, let's see if I'm getting through to you. What is the promise? What's the promise, Alex? Not getting through, Bob. Okay, I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm not getting through. What's the promise?
The Holy Spirit will, with His groanings.
Okay, that's the new prayer. But we're talking about that new promise.
The new promise is.
Wait a minute. Does anybody else know the promise? The new promise. I just went over. I'm not getting through. See, that's why I'm going over this and over this. Verse 18. What is verse 18? I want everybody to look at verse 18, and I want everybody to get this before we move on. What's the promise? The new promise that we have is. What's that, Melvin?
Not worthy.
We're not worthy, but what's the promise? Verse 18, folks. Roger, I want you to get this. Is that the right verse, Bob? Okay, all right. Bob's got it. I'm sorry, go ahead, Melvin.
We're not worthy.
We're not worthy, right? But what's the new promise that we have in Romans chapter 8, verse 18? What was I just talking about? Mexicali? What was I talking about? People are what? Suffering, okay. Are we going to have sufferings here? Yeah, we are. We're going to have sufferings in this life. You're suffering. You've been suffering for a couple of months here. We haven't had you here. Okay? But what's the promise about those sufferings, folks? See, I don't want to move on. This is why we got to get Romans 8. We've got to establish it. New position. We got a new position in Christ. We're not going to lose our salvation. Okay? Okay? And that is through the who? The person of Christ. And we have the new power. Okay? We have a new presence. The presence of Christ. Okay? But that new promise, I mean, kind of pound away on that, because so many times Christians are groaning and complaining. Okay, what's the promise? Does everybody have it? Roger, what is the promise? I'm going to ask you, folks. I'm not embarrassing you, but it's not your fault. Okay, I'm not getting through. What is the promise, Brother Alex? Okay, Fred. Nope. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Read it.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be shared, but the glory which shall be revealed in
us. What's the promise?
The promise is that in Christ will grow above the sufferings of this world.
That's right. Okay. That the sufferings of this present time are what? What did I use? The word, I used a couple of words. Tiny, minuscule, compared to what?
Glory
that shall. And that, let that encourage you. Okay? And I'm not just talking about physical sufferings. Kim and I have been working with somebody who's going through emotional sufferings, right? Soul sufferings. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is more painful? If I lost a finger or lost my wife?
My wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Take the finger. I want my wife. Okay? That's called soul suffering. Right. Okay, when we lose that loved one, okay? I just want to challenge you folks that we are going to suffer, but I want you to get the long picture, the broad picture, that it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen? And that's what I want you to grasp. Let that encourage you. What's the promise? Somebody new. Okay, Melvin, what's the promise?
Not worthy.
It's all right. That the sufferings now.
Not worthy for the suffering we have here on earth to be compared to what we receive in heaven.
That's right. Exactly. You got it. You got it. Roger, you're sore. You got beat up the other night. Okay. But what do you got coming later on? What's coming later on for you? You're going to get a crown, brother. Okay? You're going to get glorified. That little thing you went through, I know it's big now, but when you get to heaven, you're going to look back and laugh on it. You're not laughing yet. Maybe you'll laugh in this life, but not right now. It's not very funny. It hurts. It hurts. All right? I know what you told me about that car, how much it meant to you. That's right. But we can replace it. But we gotta find one of those ones that are made out of metal, not plastic, you know? That's hard to find these days. Okay. All right. So I wanted you to get grasp a hold of that new promise before we moved on. That to me is so important, because that will keep you from bitterness, folks. If I can keep you from bitterness, you know what bitterness is? Bitterness is cancer of the soul. You get bitter, what people have done to you, and you start to focus on them, and you begin to hate them, and you get bitter. You know what?
That means blaming everybody else for your...
Here's what happens, okay? Now, I'm going to share this with you. I want you to just pray for my mom, because she thinks, the doctor thinks that she might have pancreatic cancer. And that's pretty much a death warrant, you know. And it's a painful one. So we were kind of weeping a little bit yesterday. I had to spend a little time with her yesterday. Just pray for her. But I had to share with her, you know, Mom, you know, we have these sorrows and these pains now. but it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And I just talked to her. I said, make sure you're saved. Make sure. She says, I am. People are bitter at God. They're bitter at their spouses. They're bitter at their bosses. They're bitter at their pastor. They're bitter, bitter, bitter. And here's what happens. Is bitterness is like a cancer in your soul. And if you're bitter towards one person, guess what happens? All of your relationships are affected. Okay? You find a man who's bitter towards his boss, you think his wife is happy with him? He comes home crabby and he takes it out on her because he's bitter towards his boss or someone who's wronged him. Now, folks, this is a sinful world. People are going to wrong us. They're going to abuse us. They hate us because we're Christians. We are the target of the devil. We got targets on us. We need to realize that there's a new promise. And that new promise leads us to the new prayer. And we don't pray like we used to. These are just on the side. These are side things here, but they're very important. They're right there in the text. Bob just read it. Okay. All right. Romans chapter 8, 26. What does it say? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, literally Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, we don't know, folks, how to pray. I mean, more than likely, my prayers... I remember C.H. Spurgeon reading something about him, and he said something along this line, Lord, forgive me even for my prayers, for they have been so fleshly and selfish and self-serving many times. I'll tell you. My wife brought home a book yesterday, a little book. She was up in Phoenix, a Christian school teacher convention. What is it? Letters from a Modern Mystic or something like that. And I thought, that doesn't sound good. I began to read it. It was a very beautiful, wonderful book. And the idea of the book is, he asked the Lord every minute, Lord, what do you want me to say this minute? What do you want me to do this minute? And he disciplines himself that every minute, I don't know how he does it, every minute he communes with the Lord. He says, Lord, what will you have me say? What will you have me do for this moment? Well, I tell you, that's practicing the presence of God, isn't it? I want you to know we have a Holy Spirit. We don't pray alone, folks. Many times if you pray with me, you'll hear me say, by the way, come on out Tuesday night. Tuesday night. Brother Fred, you're right. It's Tuesday night, not Wednesday. Wednesday's party time around here, I guess. So, Tuesday, I try always to remember to pray. Holy Spirit, direct us in our prayer that we would pray exactly what you would have us pray. Okay? Because I don't want to waste my prayer time praying for something that maybe I want, but God doesn't want us to have it. So, I always ask the Holy Spirit. He's our prayer partner. He's our prayer helper. And that gives us a new, as we pray, we have a new prayer, we have a new purpose, folks. Verse 28, and this is a very precious thing, verse 28. Let's read that. Let's read that together, all right? It starts with 4, right? For we know, everybody, Romans 8, 28, here we go. For we know, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Okay? Brother Hiles, he wrote a wonderful chorus. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Maybe we can sing that next week. I want to tell you something, folks. The word purpose is not used very many times in the Bible. Maybe twice, maybe three times maximum. So grab a hold of this, and we what?
No.
What's the third word? And we what, Brother Bob? No. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Not we hope so. And then that's where that little chorus goes. We don't hope, we don't think, but we know. And we know all things. We know, folks, all things work together for good to them that love God. Does that mean? Now, does that mean everything that happens to us is good? Mm-mm. Let's think about this for a moment before we have our refreshment. Does that mean, folks, that everything that happens to us is good? No. No. We've talked about, we've heard over the scores of years, you know, how, why does God let bad things happen to what? Good people, okay? Bad things happen to good people. Ask Roger, okay? Ask Frank, okay? Ask Bob. Bad things happen to good people. Ask Pharrell. Ask me. Boy, I could give you an earful, you know. Let me tell you about all the bad things that happened to me. No, if I tell you something bad that's happened to me, I always want to tell you, you know what? But God will work something good out of it. Amen. You know that? And that's a matter of attitude and perspective, folks, that we need as Christians. We can get down in the mouth. We can get discouraged. I'm gonna make this up for you. I think it was either my sister or my mom gave me this prayer, maybe. It's a prayer, I guess it would call it. It's entitled Attitude. Okay? I got some prayer requests on the back of that. That's my little Bible marker where I am in my Bible reading. Okay? The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts, is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, and what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The attitude, I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And we can focus on what that person did. He did me wrong. And we can focus on the negative things of life. The fact is, bad things are going to happen to you. I'm trying to equip you. I'm trying to prepare you for those bad things so that you don't say, oh man, I just hate life. You know, the fact is, we know, not hope, not think, not maybe, but we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's a new purpose. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Somebody turn there and please read that. And then we're done. 2 Timothy 1, 9. So folks, while you're turning there, we have that new position, we have that new power, we have the new presence, we have new promise, new prayer, and a new purpose. New purpose is what? We are called according to His purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay? Okay? To them who are called according to His purpose, for Him whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What's His purpose? His purpose is that we might become like Christ. Okay? That's the purpose. Are you Christ-like in your life? Are you Christ-like in your thoughts, in your actions, in your deeds? Boy, I tell you, folks, that's the purpose that God wants to conform us to. We're like diamonds. Have you ever seen a raw diamond? You ever seen a raw diamond? Is it very pretty? No, not very pretty. And so that's what we are. We're like diamonds in the rough. And He has to take, you know, smooth off this edge and cut off this and cut off that. What's that? Somebody told me this is the fall, right? We're like pumpkins. Is that right? And the Lord, cuts off the top and scoops out all the garbage, you know, puts a smile on our face and puts the light in it. Now, I'm not into jack-o'-lanterns, okay? But, you know, there's a truth there, you know, that God does that. I'm just saying that God wants to make you into a diamond for Him, okay? All right, new purpose. What is the 2 Timothy 1:9? Somebody read it. Brother Dick, go ahead.
He who has saved us in holiness with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen. Okay. He called us according to what? His own purpose. Okay. See, God has a purpose for our lives. I think the most exciting thing about being a Christian, Brother Ralph, is having the answers to life's basic questions. I just think that's the most wonderful thing. You know, people are out there wondering if there's a God. You know, settled that a long time ago. How about you? You know, is there a God? You know, here's this Habib that calls up on Friday night, you know. And I watched some of the telecast this morning. And I didn't hear Barbara Weller say that, but I guess she did. Yeah, I noticed that now. And that wasn't what she was focusing on. But the fact is, we don't worship the same God as the Muslims. We don't worship the demon moon god of Allah. You know, that's the demon moon god, you know. And I'm probably going to be a lot harder on some Muslim who calls in and tries to dominate the show, you know. Yeah.
You know what Bill Waller called the Muslim's god?
What's that?
The Muslim's god is our devil.
The Muslim's god is our devil? Well, I don't know if it's our devil, but it sure is a demon god. There's a power there, folks, and they act like they're demon possessed. So, I mean, I just pointed out to the man that, you know, that the difference between the Quran and the Bible. I don't need to read all of the verses in the Quran to know that it's wicked, wrong. Okay, we have a new purpose, folks, and that is to be conformed to the image of Christ. One of the reasons I wasn't so hard on Habib is because I didn't want to cut him off. I want to win Muslims to Christ. I want him to call back. I want him to email me. I want to start just really communing with him. Not communing with him, but communicating with him. And hopefully we can win him to Christ. Because you can't win him in Sudan without getting your head cut off. You can't win him in Iran. You can't win him over there. So when these Muslims are coming here, you better take every opportunity to witness to a Muslim. And you better tell him that Muhammad is less than a savior, and Jesus is far more than a prophet. You let them know that. All right, let's pray. And I hope this has been helpful? I hope it has. Focus on that new promise, folks. Whatever sufferings you're going through are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And of course, that new purpose, we know that all things work together for good to them that love Christ.